ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We read verses 1 to 10. I'm just comfortable to move on. The songs reflected my message. The prayer point reflected my message. So let me just continue. Ephesians chapter 2, we read from verses 1 to 10. He said, "And you he made alive, who are dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," that's the devil, "the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience," or non-believers, "among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, that was the pause. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, and raised us up together after he saved us, and made us to sit together after he saved us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that he might show." So God is putting us up for a show. "That he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." Emphasis again, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man or anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in." I'd like to read the same verses of the scriptures from the New Living Translation. New Living Translation. I want us to have further understanding. Do we have New Living? Yes, thank you. It says, "Once you are dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and the inclinations of our sinful nature. But our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God, who is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us all from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all that he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. For God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift of God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. The supernatural life is real and tangible than this natural life. I mean, if you read verses 1 and 2, it talks about the fact that there is a ruler of darkness. The devil is real. Demons, principalities, power is real. Evil is real in our world. As a matter of fact, somewhere, I can't remember the exact scripture now, it said the whole habitation of the heart is full of the cruelty of evil. And this evil is so real that whether you want trouble or not, they make trouble. But God has a master plan. Even before the devil revolted against him, God is sovereign in power. His own supernatural life is also real. As a matter of fact, the devil's supernatural life, I will say, is a counterfeit one. It's copy and paste in an evil way. But for bankers who are seated here this morning, you will agree with me, when you are taking through training in training school, how to recognize fake notes, no one showed you one. All that was done was to project the original. And once the original, you can recognize the original, it doesn't matter how they quote the fake, you will always identify it. Sometimes bankers are so good about it, they don't even have to take it under the light. They know by reason of recognition. Believers in Christ must begin to align themselves. There must be recognition of all that Jesus has done for us. So the supernatural life is real and tangible than this natural life. The believers in Christ, just like we read this morning, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are not in low places. We are not in the managing space. We are not in the hustling business. We are seated. I mean, I'm still studying it. Do you know that if you look at the traditional setting where you have the obas, in every culture, when Oba is talking, in fact, in some culture, to know how their dominion is, somebody has to sit by him because they don't make noise. Somebody has to interpret what the Oba is saying. And I've never seen an Oba standing up. They are always seated. Why? Being sitting talks about power. It talks about dominion. It talks about confidence. It talks about authority. That throne, you can't desecrate it. Because there is, even when you do, there are many people who will react. So sitting with Christ is a position of power, is a position of honor, is a position of strength. Even the devil, who is in control of the ruler of the darkness of this world, they understand that. So no demon can deter the believer who is seated with Christ. That's the truth. We are seated far above all the works of the enemies. Where we just read, you see a line that says, even our salvation experience is not what we make, is not what we work out by ourselves. That's works. It paid the price. All of us in this room, I don't know if you can calculate your biological age. Jesus' blood was shed before you were born. And it was shed for the sins of the whole world, not for you only. Everything you have done, everything you are doing, everything you will ever do or done, the blood has taken it. It's called the remission of your sins. But you know, we can't continue in sin that grace may abound. So we will never be doing. Instead of doing, we become. We become who we are in Christ Jesus. So we are seated in heavenly places. Our sitting and reigning in heavenly places confers upon us a position, I like to emphasize it again, a position of authority, a position of honor, a position of triumph. In the natural setting, if you see a prince just misbehaving anyhow, people ask, they say, are you sure this is a prince? In some places, like the British monarch, they train them to talk. You don't see them just anyhow. I mean, we in recent times, I know that there have been a revolt. But the truth is that when you see a prince is a prince. In some parlance, there are certain things kings doesn't do. Kings don't bother about needs. That's in the natural setting. Kings don't bother about the economy, because they understand their authority, they understand their inheritance, and they are not afraid to exercise it. So we are seated with Christ. It is not a sitting of failure. It is not an identification with defeat. It's not a sitting in depression, singing Maranatha, now O come Lord Jesus. It's a seat of occupying. In Luke chapter 19, verse 13, Jesus said, do business or occupy it till I come. Exercise your authority because you have identified with me. So it's not a seat of retrogression. God's work in Christ far exceeds any damage done to humanity by Adam's transgression. God's work in Christ far, far exceeds any damage done to humanity by reason of Adam's transgression. The first Adam missed the mark, but the second Adam not only restored the mark, but he has given us authority to push out the works of darkness. Today, if believers will understand this, God's word has the capacity, full capacity. I mean, when, for those of us, some of us who probably know about automobiles, if you hear certain horsepower in certain cars, there's just that desire in you to go test drive. Because why? You know the power that has been invested. Oh, she's one of them. And she likes car. So she's already pushing her leg that way. You want to test. You want to test because there is something about the capacity. Why other cars, for example, are still trying to do, it's you just, once life comes into the engines, it takes off. Why? The horsepower. For those of us who also understand, we find out, we ask questions like, how many cylinders? It's the same thing. And I'm going to something very shortly. Because every one of us, we should ask this question. So if we have access to this power, why are believers still living under the potentials of this power? So God's word has the full capacity, the energy, the ability, the nature to effect transformation in any life when we allow him to do so. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. He said, for the word of God is living. In other words, it's applicable in any age, in any generation. The word of God is alive, is living and powerful and sharper. Can you see the connection? The same word is alive, is powerful, is sharper. There is precision with it. One of the ways I understood precision was there was a time I went into a village in the north. If you know our brethren from the north, they know how to use slings. And so there was like a snake somewhere. And this young boy, maybe about 12. I mean, people like us, because we don't like anything that crawls. We already took the back seat. And the boy just used his leg, not even right. Just used his leg. And before you know it, the snake was right there. It wasn't two shots. It was precision. It was precision. So the word of God is sharper than that. It's precise more than that. It can pierce even to the division of soul and spirit. It's very difficult for many people to divide it. So many people use that soul and spirit interchangeably today. And he said, of the joints and marrow, and the word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. So when we allow the word of God, it will not only deliver our inheritance into our hands, it has that capacity, that full throttle to change our lives. So the question, let me read something to us again. It's like a quote. I read it two or three times. There is not one thing in your life today that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse. If the sin has damaged it, the blood can fix it. There is not any one thing, nothing in your life that the blood does not or cannot cleanse. If sin has damaged it, then the blood can fix it. Why did I say that? Revelation 12, 11. Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him. Who is the him? The devil. His cohorts. Demons, principalities, and power, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimonies. And they did not love their lives unto death. 1 John 4:4, they overcame him. So believers are overcomers. We are of God, little children, Mr. Ralph, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in us, capital H, the Holy Spirit, Jesus residing in us, we are God's temple, is greater, is mightier, is powerful than he, small he, who is in the world, that is the devil. So the greater one lives on the inside of us. Say that with me this morning. The greater one lives on the inside of me. I belong to God. I have overcome them. Greater, powerful, audacious, courageous is the one who lives in me than he who lives in the world. That is the devil. So the question, why does it seem the believer has still fallen into the whims and caprices of Satan, who is a master deception? It should bother you. You should ask the question. The answer is simply the perception such believers have of themselves in God, which inform their orientation as members of the body of Christ. The perception, the mindset, the perception, the culture, the perception, the way they see God. You know, for example, many people have this notion that church is where you go to. That's a mindset. If that is your perception, you may not understand some basic things when it comes to your authority as a believer. Church is not where you go to. You are the church. That's a teaching for another day. Church is not a building. Even though we meet under a building, what makes this place church at this hour is the physical presence or online presence of you and I. In another hour, when we are done with this service, it becomes like an ordinary place. As a matter of fact, we can do a makeshift. We can hold a party here. So, who is the church? You and I. So, church is not where you go to. So, when you understand that, you will know that church is not restricted to Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then when you come back for refueling, every day of your life is church. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are like a city set upon the hill. You are to represent God in your day-to-day activity. And I mean, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which is my favorite in the message, it says, do not be conformed to this world. So the world system is saying, oh, church people. So it's you are not church people, you are the church. Whoever sees you must see Christ. Christ must be magnified in your everyday affair, your waking moment, you're going to work, you're rising up because you represent him. An ambassador of the United States of America is an ambassador. Whether he's sleeping, whether he's waking, whether he's attending a meeting, he has the seal. That's why you can't find him at the computer village. It's not bothered about needs. If he needs to use a system, Apple is supplied. You probably will not see him in a Peugeot. Their official car is Ford. There is a measure of patriotism. There is an orientation, a mindset that says they are the number one citizens in the whole world. That's how Americans train their kids from infancy. That's why a lot of them don't have passport. There is no need to travel. We are the citizens of God's kingdom. We represent him here. See, our mindset should change. My God supplies all of my needs according to his riches in glory. If you say, that may not work, that's what you get. So the perception, the mindset which the believer have of God have their response towards his word. So there are three categories of people in the body of Christ. Number one category, I put the word in context. I put the word church. The militant church. Because we're asking the question, why do people still fall Why do we fall into the whims and caprices of Satan? Why do people go around the same cycle over and over again, still looking for deliverance? It's the mindset. It's the mindset. It's the mindset. So you have the militant church, which is the body of believers with the mindset that they are not seated with Christ in heavenly places yet. They are still battling to gain victory. And see, these three categories, it will inform many things for you. The way you pray, how you pray, when you pray, your disposition towards the promises of God, which the Bible already said they are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So you have this militant church. Everything is war, war, war. There is no rest. Whereas the third category, which is where automatically that's where I belong, and that's where every serious believer who understand what Jesus has done should belong. There is no end to war. So there are always something to be done before you attain that. The devil is a deceptor. His name is deception personified. The devil sees blue, and if you are looking at that blue, if you are helping him to look at it, it can turn into, you know what is called mirage. That's how he operates. That blue, if you don't maintain your focus, it can turn into white. The mirage, for those of us who travel on the road during the day, you know, sometimes you see it, it's as if the road is burning. And then you get there, it's a mirage. The more you look, the farther it becomes. It's the same thing with the sea. If you go to the Atlantic Ocean, you think that the water just hangs close by. When you start swimming, you will know. It doesn't hang. And the more you swim, the deeper it goes like that. That's how the ocean depth is. So you need to understand it. All things are yours in Christ Jesus. That's the mindset, though. All things. You know, the militant believers still believe that it's when they get into trouble that God begins to figure out what to do with their problems. So if care is not taken, their eyes are taken off Jesus. So they put emphasis. I'm not saying don't fast. I mean, I believe in fasting. And you can hear it from their testimony. When I went on this fast, then God intervened. Before you went on the fast, God has not lost control. He will never lose control. Before you went on the fast, God is not in competition with the devil over your soul. Before you went into the fast, the problems that you had yesterday, today, and the challenges of tomorrow, he has it fixed up. Only if you can see. There was an instance in the scripture. The war came against, the host of an army came against just two people. One saw something different. The other one says, Mogbeo, we are dead. My mother asked me not to follow this prophet, but I just disobeyed. Now we are in trouble. We are right here on the mountaintop. There is no way to escape. You know, the prophet was just there. The prophet is you and I, who are the believer, who understand their place, was there. And when I believe that guy, maybe the prophet was sleeping, was disturbing him too much. He just prayed a simple prayer. He said, Lord, open the eyes of the young man that he may see. We are getting there. And okay, I have a few minutes left. Open the eyes. You see, when your eyes are open and you see the inheritance that you have in Christ Jesus, you will approach your faith wall from a position of rest. And the Bible says the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw that those who are for them are even more than those who are against them. The militant church, they do things out of fear. Out of fear. Out of fear. Out of fear. There was one day, many years ago, I was called, or we were called in the office, not here, in my home church. And there was a woman who was in labor and all that. So I think she's been in labor for hours. I mean, things are not like this at that time. So the husband didn't want them to do CS. I was saying prayer. We resolve it. So when we got there, we saw some brethren. So when I got there, just here, there, saw the husband, who can I talk to? He said, the doctor is there. And I went into the doctor's room. And I said, Doc, please, I just want to have. And the doctor said, can you beg? Who are you? I said, I'm the pastor. He said, can you help us beg him? So that this baby is beginning to get distressed. So that we can save both the baby and the thing. So I went. I called him. I said, see, Oga, your wife's service is small. Doctors have explained it. I said, no, I have the faith. I said, you are stupid. I said, who is teaching you the faith? I said, doctor, bring the paper. I will sign. He said, no, pastor, I will sign. And within how many minutes? So, militant believers are foolish. So, somebody asked you that you have a problem and say you should go on 14 days fast. He himself is not fasting. And then you go. And the thing didn't work. And they have 14 days to 28 days. There are some people who live their Christian experience that way. Militant. Ogunwa. So you must war. Mm-mm. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Some militant believers, they pay for other people to fast for them. Some militant believers, you hear things in their language, hot prayer. There is no prayer that is hot. Every prayer is prayer. If you pray it according to the word of God. There is no lukewarm prayer. Because what people say hot prayer is your ability to shake your head, to shake everything. And one man of God said, you are shaking your head. When you are not shaking your head, your life is not correct. Is it now that you are shaking your head that you can think straight? So, militant believers, the promises which are yes and amen. I don't know whether people understand it. When something is yes and amen, it means there is nothing else you can do about it. We sang it earlier on. What he has done, nothing can undo it. Jesus is not just going to die for me. He has already died. He has already risen. He is in position of authority and power. So, what many militant believers, Jesus is seated. Please call on Maki. I want you to behave anxiously. So, Aki is seated with me, Christ, in heavenly places. And so, somebody like Sadiq, oh yeah, come and try to push Aki away from here. And then you try to, you are torn in between. And he wants to take you. And I'm not shaking. Because I know he can't take you. And you are saying to me, and which is what we do in the place of prayer. We beg for things that have been freely given to us. Oluwajor, for how long? It's not like your heartless father. We read it this morning. For by grace ye are saved. You may say, what kind of a pastor is it? See, I was once there. Kope, local government alone. So we can't continue there. Hey, we need to do more. You see, nothing can pluck you from his hands. It's a mindset. And see, even if Akin decides to follow, the day Akin recognizes it and gives Sadiq a punch in his face, he's back home. He's back home. He's back home. See, he's not leaving that place. He's not anxious. So if we have that militant perspective, then we begin to see things. See, you may say, my family, they have this problem, they have that problem. The reason why you are saving to that family is to resolve yours and then deliver the other members of the family. So all things are yours. See, if you understand this, you won't pray selfish prayer. Because what we also do with those militant prayers is that you want to resolve yourself and then just leave it. You know, this is a mindset, what I've just done. You say, back to sender. If you're back to sender, it's like any other thing. You are doing exercise. So, what is back to sender? You are supposed to utilize your authority. Satan, I command you, leave. You have no place here. Leave. Leave. Thank you, gentlemen. Let me just round it up. You are clapping. Let's all clap for ourselves. Because we need to exercise this authority. We need to understand it. So the second category of the believers is the defeated church. The defeated church. They are ignorant, completely ignorant of their rights and privilege in Christ Jesus. They never get to use their authorities. They are follow. Come and eat grass. They go. I'm free to hear because when I want to smile, I just go there to watch the latest. Many of their leaders, they have pure water factories. So they sell water. They don't read the Bible anymore. They just sell water. This water will deliver you. We say, what is the difference between that? When I used to board Molua in this city, you know, there is, when those, as soon as you sit, somebody gets up and introduces one medicine to you. It can cure stomachache, it can cure head problem, it can cure everything. And we used to have fun. We just enter Mole, me and my friend, from Unila, we enter to interior Lagos. So you see many people. And when this person finished, Abalis will stand up. The one selling tetracycline and all that, we said, tell you everything can cure. Even if you are believing God for a child, just use that medicine. So the defeated church is a mindset. God baptizes people with the gift of the Holy Ghost with an evidence in other tongues. He said, could happen. It's when my father brought Christianity, that was how it ended up with. Jesus can heal and save and deliver around you. Heaven help those. Even this Bible says, don't believe them all. Even this Bible says, heaven help those who help themselves. I took somebody up one day. I said, can you show me? Then he picked his Bible and just did like that, you know, what we do. And he said, this is not my Bible. He said, maybe when I get back home. And they are consistently held captive. And that's why if you read Ephesians, if you indeed read those six chapters, it said that ye no more be children tossed away by every wind of doctrine. Every wind. Let me close. I still have 6 minutes. So let me close with this third category of believers. That's where I belong. The triumphant church. The triumphant church. Let me just say something about the triumphant church. Are there going to be challenges? Plenty of them. Are there going to be trouble? Plenty of troubles. I mean, Paul highlighted his own. In 2 Corinthians, he said, in perils of armed robbers, in fasting, in tumult, in shipwrecks. So, the triumphant church does not say they are not, their faith, like I said last week, is not a faith to utopia. That once you are in, there is no problem. Mm-mm. Paul Dog even said, even false brethren. Church people will deal with you. But you have to walk in love, walk in faith. That's the triumphant church. The triumphant church settles in everything Jesus has done. You are stupid if you give me water to drink now. You are stupid if you give me oil to drink. You are stupid. I read the word. Are there principalities, demons, power? Probably I battle it more than some of you here. Before I came and told you that when you hit in dream, hit very well. The truth is that the devil, I came to a place of understanding. The devil is stingy. So the devil can't give you food. Not even in the physical, talk less of the dreams. Some people who don't understand this, you know, I've had people come to me. They say, I'm in trouble. Why? I'm counting money in my dream. I said, that's a sign of breakthrough. Because if you can count it in your dream, you will count it in life. They said, no, that's a sign of poverty. I said, who said? Said, I know somebody. I said, that's testimony, not testimony. Testimonies. They will always know somebody. You know the caveat there? If fear, if you take heed to those things, fear set in your heart, your testimony may become like Job. Job 3:25. That which I greatly fear has come upon me. He didn't say that which the devil puts. Me, low greatly fear, and my greatly fear has become a reality in my life. Are there going to be symptoms of sickness? Many. So, what do you say at that time? It's not my migraine. And you know, that's how we receive some of these things. Oh, my migraine has come again. You say, so you said it to yourself. And then maybe Akin comes into my office and I'm like, Pastor Kiloshele, my migraine has come. So Akin goes to tell Sadiq, Pastor's migraine has come. Sadiq goes to tell. And before you know it, we are snared. Are there going to be battles? Yes, many of them, until you see Jesus face to face. But he has given us triumph over. So, the triumphant church mindset of the believer, they have the biblical perspective of the body of Christ. They know that they are seated with Christ far above. Ephesians 1:3, as I close, I have 2 minutes more. Ephesians 1:3, it said, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. To be blessed, we sang about it. To be blessed means to be empowered to make spiritual progress. It means to be wired up for success. That's the DNA that you and I carry. We are blessed with some spiritual blessing. So it means you need to read your Bible. Because some people have said to them that are blessed with some spiritual blessing and they have run with it. They are never like the Berean Christian. My uncle said, my brother said, my pastor said, my boss said, that's all that rules their life. President said, my leader said, my local government said, CNN said. No, you can't run that way. You have to run counterculture, counter mindset. Your mindset is to be woven in the word of God. Ephesians 2:6 that we read. So, the triumphant church, they have the understanding that they are blessed. They have the understanding that they are raised up together and made to sit together. If I touch on this, you know the particular religion. We are not servants. We are not slaves of God. We are children of God. We have access. Access. Full access. Full access. We are not subservient. All things are our in Christ Jesus. And then the last thing is Romans 5:17. That's the triumphant church. It said they recognize that by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. But they also understand that much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we reign in life. You know, militant church and the other church, what's the other church? The Vita church, they have issues with the subject of righteousness. So, in my native language, you hear prayer like, Awa more utoshie leshe. We, your children, wretched sinners, have come. Can you see the contrast? Children, wretched, doesn't hurt. Then, in some palaces, you hear, we are not perfect. We just drink sin like we are drinking water. And you see, over the years, people have even brought it. And so when they have to, when the Bible says, let us come boldly. Boldly. Alagbada, no, to ba jo minino. No. Let us come boldly. Can I close with this? For those of us who have kids here, yeah. As Anita, if Anita wants to come into this room, will Anita say, Daddy! No. No. In fact, Anita can come and tap you, Daddy. And you know that that's your girl talking now. I mean, you don't have any option, but you just have to. Hey, even if I do like this, you can say, what's wrong with this pastor? But if Anita does like, you don't show money now. Slow down. Why? Anita has a relationship with you. Your heart is forever soft towards her. Even when you are upset with her, and you say, Daddy, now, smile. What do you do? See, for us to enjoy this benefit that we have in God, we need to develop our intimate relationship. And that's what I'm throwing at you this way. Develop your relationship. God is not... You know, some people still have mindset that God is in heaven. We are here on earth. God is inside you, in case you don't know. God is inside you. His Holy Spirit lives in you. He's there to direct you. He's there to guide you. He's there to help you. Some people say, until I become prayer warrior. Mm-mm. If you have the Holy Ghost in you, he's your comforter, he's your intercessor, he's your strengthener, he's your standby. It's because you have no leverage on that power. That's why you don't get the full benefit. We will start from there after next week, because next week is our children's kiddie first celebration. So please, we will enjoy their ministry out of the mouth of the babes and suckmates. God has a perfected praise. So next week, let's just come excited to come and celebrate our kids. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word that has given us understanding. Thank you for questions in people's heart. Lord, I don't in any way intend to mislead anyone. Lord, clarify things in people's heart. As people fellowship with you this week, thank you because their eyes of understanding are flooded with your light. Thank you for the deliverance. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the truth being unveiled unto us. And thank you for your blessing over every household of faith. This week is a week of blessing, a week of open doors. We cover more territories than the marketplace. The name of Jesus is glorified in our nation. And Lord, as decisions are made this week for the new chief of army staff, thank you for wisdom, for guidance, that we guide our leaders to make the right decision. And thank you for peace over our land this week. We give you praise, worship, and glory. In Jesus' precious name.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,